Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
And in recent presidential elections, religion was everywhere. In 2004, George W. Bush actively courted conservative believers. In 2008, Sarah Palin excited evangelicals. And unexpectedly, so did Barack Obama. This year, religion is playing a supporting role when it even makes an appearance.
That's the beginning of a recent National Public Radio story titled, Both Candidates Leave God Off the Campaign Trail. You often don't notice something's missing until someone points out that it's missing, and, well, they just pointed out that something's missing. All the God talk that has been so much a part of that intense trail toward the White House election just isn't there. There's been some of it, but after the candidates were chosen, it's pretty much disappeared. Except for the obligatory God bless America, you're not hearing a lot of talk about the candidates' religion, the religious positions, or the God talk that you expect of a man who's running for president of the United States. Now, why is this? And is it perhaps a good thing not to hear the God talk from our potential presidents? Joining us to talk about this, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of the book, How Christianity Changed the World. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Let's take them one at a time, beginning with Governor Romney, the challenger. Why do you think it is that he is not engaging in the expected and typical God talk for a presidential candidate?
My hunch is, and I'm probably not the only one who has thought about this, because it would maybe anger or not please the base because he's Mormon. And that may very well be the answer. I wonder if there's anything else. I think probably not.
And then in the case of President Obama, the incumbent, why do you think in his case?
Very similar. He doesn't want to anger his base because of the left orientation. I think this was even very evident at the Democrat convention when there was uproar about taking the name of God's potential out of the platform, and then it was brought back in. And, of course, it angered the base immensely. So I think even though apparently it was Obama that wanted it put back in after he saw there was a certain amount of flack, after the convention, he, I think, has gone back to not mentioning God in any form or shape. And so I think both candidates don't want to anger their base.
Is it perhaps a good thing that, for a change, our presidential candidates aren't engaging in this?
It could be, because, you know, if you talk about civil religion, which this really, our country has been accused of being civil religious, although it's not the first. The Romans were civil religious too. And I might mention in passing, one reason the early Christians got in trouble because they didn't buy into, if I may use that term, of Rome's civil religion. Civil religion is variously defined. In fact, a lot of sociologists of religion have in recent years been trying to say the concept is dead and we shouldn't even use it. And then others have said, yeah, but Obama brought it back 4 years ago in his speeches and also, for example, at the inauguration when Rick Warren was one of the participants and brought in, for example, the phrase of the passionate, merciful one, which was a Muslim echo, and also used the Arabic name for Jesus, and then Obama made a number of references that had biblical quotations in them, and so people thought he had brought it back. But basically, civil religion is when you use religion for political purposes. And in that sense, your question, is it perhaps good? I would say yes.
Why do politicians, and this is something that politicians, especially in the American context, have done routinely from almost the beginning, why do they invoke a generic deity? Why not a particular deity? In the case of Christians, it would be the triune God.
Exactly right. And that's been going on from day one with George Washington and even with people like Benjamin Franklin, who wanted what he called a public religion. But by that he meant certainly not anything that would be Christian. Civil religion can also be seen as believing or espousing a God in general, who was never defined, and certainly not defined in terms of bringing Jesus Christ into the picture. And this is why our founding fathers and the presidents after that, you could look at every president, when he gives a public prayer, references to God, the name of Christ is conspicuously missing. And that is the American way. They apparently, already back 200 years ago at the founding of the country, felt they didn't want to offend, if I may use that word, because of those who might not see it their way. In those days, of course, the public had, you know, there was a lot of animosity between the various religious denominations. The Catholic hated Episcopalians, Episcopalians hated Catholics, and Catholics hated Baptists and vice versa. And so they just steered clear of any kind of specific reference relative to Christianity and fostered civil religion. And we have civil religion very much alive, usually in our national holidays, particularly Memorial Day. When in almost every community, there is a gathering of sometimes several different clergies on a platform, or a mayor and others participate, and they will have a prayer, but Jesus Christ will not be part of the prayer. And sometimes you see this even in other civic contexts, like Rotary meetings, Kiwanis meetings, when individuals pray. Some of them will pray in the name of Christ, others will not. So you see, again, the civil religion basically is used for political purposes, political ends, to unite the nation. And that it has done to some degree in our country, and some people would lament the fact if it should disappear. But it might be more blessed for it to disappear because a God in general, as you and I as Christians know, is not the God of Scripture. It's in essence sometimes denying Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ very clearly said, who confesses me before God, him I will confess before the angels of God, and who denies me, I will deny before the angels of God. And so civil religion doesn't basically leave Christ out and indirectly denies him.
Why do politicians feel the need, and again, particularly American politicians, feel the need to mention any deity at all?
Well, because I think they think it's part of the American heritage. And, you know, George Washington did it in a sense. You know, it's interesting. The Constitution of the United States does not have the word God in it. And it's also very interesting, and I think many ways you can say George Washington started something. When the oath of office is taken by the president, he invokes the name of God. But the oath of office, which is part of the Constitution, does not have the name of God in it. George Washington added that, or ad-libbed it, and every president has been doing it ever since. This is a big surprise to a lot of people, but the Constitution is, in terms of using God, a godless document. And it was highly criticized at the time of the Constitution was debated before it was finally approved. Why did you leave the name of God out? Alexander Hamilton, for example, said, oh, we must have overlooked it. Well, they didn't overlook it. They did it by design. But George Washington, when he brought in the inauguration the name of God as part of the oath, every president, because George Washington is so highly revered, does the same thing. And that's closely related to our belief in civil religion, that a little bit of religion is better than no religion. It's basically another premise that underlies the concept.
President Obama has followed suit of every president before him, with very few exceptions, but especially of recent memory. Of during his term of office, when he makes public addresses, sometimes to religious groups, sometimes not to religious groups, of quoting scripture. And it's often, there's a particular kind of scripture that often gets quoted. It's kind of the Sermon on the Mount kind of scripture, the general moral teachings made even more general by the way they're quoted. What's going on there when any president, this one or previous ones, or future ones, do this?
I think they basically believe this, the Americans are a religious people, broadly defined in the context of civil religion. And that for them to mention that endears him as a speaker to the general public. But it's very interesting now, given the fact that our country is, in a sense, we have the number of atheists are growing. It used to be very, very small. It's now approaching roughly 10% of the population. So it may be that this kind of God talk in terms of civil religion by leaders will be sort of slowly mitigated, maybe eventually even not heard. It'll be very interesting to see, because we are more and more secular now than we have been, and it looks like that process will grow.
Do you expect, Dr. Schmidt, that in tonight's debate, these public debates that will be held and nationally televised, that religion will be addressed as the two presidential candidates face one another and the nation that they both aspire to lead? About 1 minute.
My guess is no, because both of them will be afraid of that. Whatever they would say would be highly misunderstood. So I don't think they will do it. No, I mean, I would bet that they won't.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College, and he's author of the book, How Christianity Changed the World. You can find out more about this great book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Schmidt, thank you for your time this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You know, it's interesting. And we're not going to be able to stop them, because it's just in the American bloodstream, this generic civil religion. But don't mistake it for Christianity. The man who utters the God bless America, or in God we trust, or the other God talk that we often hear from our politicians, he may really believe it. He may, in fact, be thinking of that triune God. But maybe he isn't. And really, it doesn't matter. Because what you are watching there in almost every case is the use of God for political ends. Those may be good ends, they may be bad ends, but God is being used for the purposes of the state. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Pastor Peter Bender, who, wow, got to sing the national anthem at Wrigley Field on Monday night. We'll find out how he got to do that, and why that was such a milestone for him. Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskuta, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskuta, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues, Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues, Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org.